to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
As we normally do, and I believe the Lord's going to break out and do different things, and others will be coming in as we're doing this. But I want to do something they used to do back in the latter rain days. And that is they used to take days of teaching people about faith before they prayed for healing. And we're going to pray today, and we're going to pray a little differently. In fact, it's going to be not only, how many know that sometimes you need healing, but it's not physical healing you need? How many ever had a heart that needed to be healed? You ever had your mind that needed to be healed? You ever had your hopes or your dreams that needed to be healed? So we're going to have some things that to do today. Is kind of a wide range of things, but I want to start because I want to I want to break you out of insanity. Come on, let's say, everybody say amen. Come on, all the crazy people say amen. And insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. And I want to talk to you today because I want to do a paradigm shift in you, because I'll just throw this out. And the way that we do things here is I'm not the Pope, all right? Every word that utters from my voice is not, my mouth is not, completely right. Let me just say it that way. I mean, the Bible says judge all things. Is that right? You're to judge all things. Everything I give out is not an edict. But today I want to challenge you about something, because sometimes we can do things a certain way and never realize there's another way. And we do things just out of habit and not realize this may not be the way they did it in the Bible. So I want to talk to you about a few things, and we're going to do this. Everybody stand up now that you're comfy, cozy. Stand up. Exodus chapter 14. And I want to talk to you about a time when God rebuked the children of Israel for praying. I want to talk to you this morning about a time when God rebuked a people for praying. Can I get a better amen this morning? I want to talk to you about a day when God rebuked a people for praying. Watch this. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel, they did what? They cried to the Lord. They lifted their voices and they prayed and they cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die. Now stay right there. Die in the wilderness. So the Bible says they cried out to the Lord. They lifted up their voice. They prayed unto God. And I want you to notice what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Why are you praying to me? Why are you praying? Why do you cry to me? Watch what he said. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod. You know, the rod always spoke of the authority. It was a symbol of authority when you rule with a rod of authority. He said, Moses, I'm giving you authority. Why are you praying to me? Tell them, why are you crying to me? Tell them to go forward. You lift up the authority I've given you. I've the rod. Lift up your rod. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. God's already told him. He said, go lift up your rod. I gave you the authority. I won't go into all the history of it. But he spoke to him. He said, do what I told you to do. Lift up your rod of authority. Divide the sea. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. They were having a prayer. Oh, God, save us. Oh, God. Oh, we're praying, crying out to God. And God says, why are you praying? Why are you crying? Why are you crying out to lift up the rod of authority I've given you, divide the sea, and the children of Israel will go through on dry. Come on, somebody. They could have sat there all day long crying out to God, praying, and they'd have died on that side of the Red Sea. Until somebody got up from the prayer, took the authority that God had given them, stretched out the rod, divided the sea, and they went through on dry. Come on, somebody. All right, today's message is called, Wherefore Criest Thou Unto Me? I think that's what I called it. That's an old King James. Wherefore Criest Thou Unto Me? I just like the tone of it. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Open up our ears, our eyes to a new paradigm in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen? Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering one more time, would you? Come on. Go ahead and be seated. Wherefore Criest Thou Unto Me? I believe God's challenging us to get into the supernatural and into the miraculous. And God never intended for the church to be otherwise. I want to look at some things in a different light today. And as I said, to do a kind of a paradigm shift. But there came a day when God rebuked the people for praying when they should have been acting, when they should have been doing what he said already to do, when what he'd already spoken to them, they were supposed to be doing instead of sitting there and weeping and crying and praying and, oh God, please. And the Bible says, why are you crying out to me? Stretch out your rod over the sea, the power of the rod of authority. Now, listen, to see the miraculous in your life, there must be prayer. You cannot be a woman or a man of miraculous movings without prayer. But listen, to see the miraculous happen, there has to come a time when you rise up from prayer and act on the authority that God's given you. You've got to come to a place where you rise up from the prayer and do what he said do. Stretch out your rod of authority. Do it, and the sea will part. If they'd have stayed in prayer, crying out to God, it never would have happened. They had to rise up from their prayer, stretch out the rod of authority, divide the sea, and the Bible said the land was dry. They went across. Ephesians, listen, I want to talk to you about authority. How many know that the Lord has given you authority? Ephesians 6 says it this way. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 16. Above all, everybody say above all. Taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me tell you how important it is to arm yourself with a sword. See, when you take up these weapons, you begin to use them. You stand up in what the Lord has given you. And 1 Peter chapter 3, speaking of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made what? Who are they subject to? Who are powers and authorities subject to? They are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the authority now. Look what Colossians 2 says. Having disarmed, aren't you glad of that? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus has been given authority. Look what Ephesians 1 says. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believes according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above, everybody say far above, not just above, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Come on, somebody. He put it all under him, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You get the feeling that Jesus is in charge this morning. Over everything we face, over every enemy we face, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, demonic, mental, he has been given the authority over it all. This is what Matthew 28, you read this over and over. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, what did he say? First words out of his mouth when he came back from heaven was this: all authority. Come on, somebody. All authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. Everybody say go therefore. When you see a therefore there, find out what it's there for. Come on, somebody. And he said, go therefore. Why did he say we could go therefore? Because all authority has been given to him. And he's been giving it to us. You know, doing the slides back there is Wally Coward. Wally's with the police force. He's over narcotics units. And he's back on the police force. You know what? Wally and I were in line in traffic out here. How many know that Wally got a call from the police department? How many know he could put his little red light on and he could pull out of the other lane traffic and go right through a red light and not get a ticket? Come on, somebody. You understand what I mean? You know why? Because he has, I have the same power. I've got a car. I've got an engine. I got the power. But you know what? I don't have the authority that he's got. Come on. And what happens is Jesus said, listen, God has given us authority. And he wanted them to know that when he came back, he said, listen, all authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. Now you go and do what I told you to do because I have all authority. You have every right to do what everything I told you to. Come on, somebody. Amen. Look what Mark 13 says. It's like a man going to a far country. He's telling about himself, the kingdom of God. He tells about himself. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Guess the good thing news is you have been given authority that the Lord. He has gone away. And he got all authority, and when he left, he says, now I'm giving you the authority also. We have been given authority by the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 10. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you, everybody say what? I give you what? I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Do you get the idea that we have some authority given to us? By the one who was given all authority in heaven and earth. So there is this authority. Look at Luke 9. Look at this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over, notice, over all demons and authority and power to cure diseases. Watch this. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We have been given authority this morning to drive out devils, but not only to drive out devils, but to heal the sick. And that can be a sickness of mind. It can be a sickness of body. It can be sickness of heart. You name it. It can be a sickness, whatever. Look at Mark chapter 16. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. And he said, but these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. There is a time when we understand that the Lord has given us authority, and you rise up and begin to do what the Lord has given you the authority to do. That is beginning to cure the sick, preach the gospel, do all that he said to do. Look at Mark chapter 1. It was the aspect of authority that so commanded the people's attention. Notice what it says. Then they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with, everybody say it, with what? That was the difference about Jesus. When he came on the scene, they noticed not only others had power and all this, but he had the authority. And what they were amazed at, for with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Listen, when Jesus came on the scene, he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has anointed me, so send I you. Heal the sick, cast out devils. And notice this, when he said that, you'd never read, they didn't say, well, how do we do that, Jesus? You don't hear, now, guys, I want you to go. I want you to cast out devils. I want you to heal the sick. And tomorrow morning we'll have Authority 101. We're going to do it and teach you all how to do it. They never asked, how do we do that, Lord? How do we? You know what? They'd been in class with him for 3.5 years. They had watched how he did it. They didn't need a seminar on how to do what he told them to do. They'd watched it for 3 years. They'd watched him heal the sick, cast out devils, bring his authority, and they had watched it. And as we go forth, we need to know then, how did he do it? Because when he told them to go do it, heal the sick, cast it. How did he do it? Because they did it like he did it. And he said, I only do what I see the Father do. So he did it like he saw the Father do it. And when you begin to study that a little bit, you've begun to find this. When God created the worlds, God didn't sit in a corner and pray. Oh, I pray to myself. Oh, let this and that. You know what the Bible says? God stood up on the scene, and the Bible says, here's what he did. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the light divide from the darkness. And God said, let the vegetation come forth. And God separated the waters from the waters beneath, from the waters above. And God set the stars in the firmament. And God's, and the Bible says over and over, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And the Bible says Jesus came on the scene and says, I only do what I see the Father do. And when I look at that, I said, how did Jesus do what he did? What was he doing? John 5:19, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Listen, for whatever he does, the Son also does in what? In like manner. Just like I see the Father doing it, I do it in like manner. That's how I'm going to do it. And so one of the things I believe, like I told you, insanity is doing the same old thing the same way, expecting a different result. And this morning, if you've tried some ways and it's not worked for you, at least listen to this. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father do. And I do it in the like same way I see the Father do it. When I watch the Father create the world, when I see the Father with authority, the Bible says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. In Matthew chapter 8, it says Jesus marveled very few times. And he marveled in Nazareth at their unbelief. But he marveled one time at a centurion, at a Roman soldier. He marveled because this Roman soldier got a hold of something, I believe, that his own disciples weren't getting, because they'd been in church all their life, or at least they'd been in a Jewish community all their life, and they got in routines, and they got in habits, and they got in ways of doing things, and they just thought that's how you do it. But here's this Roman centurion grown up in Rome and under that, and he hadn't got any of that religious baggage, and he just comes into meeting Jesus from a fresh paradigm, a fresh viewpoint. And he comes and he has a servant. He wants to get healed. And he's not grown up in Judaism. He doesn't know all the way you're supposed to do it and all this. He's just a Roman soldier. But I want you to notice Jesus marvels because this guy got a hold of the way it works in the kingdom of God that even the disciples hadn't gotten hold of yet. And the Bible says he marveled at this guy. Listen to what he says. Now, when Jesus entered the Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him. Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word. It's like I can imagine Jesus' brain. Listen to this guy. It's like my Father spoke the word and it came into existence. And this centurion is standing there and he says, don't even come to my house. You just speak the word. He said, Lord, I'm not, speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority. And one time it is, I'm a man that has authority also. I understand authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, all I have to do is speak the word and things happen. And he goes. And another one, I say, come. I just speak the word. And he comes because I have authority delegated from the emperor. And he said, I know you. You're a man with authority. You're under authority and you have authority. He says, another one comes. He comes and to my servant, do this. I just speak the word. And things happen. I just speak it. And because I have authority, it happens. And it does it. And when Jesus heard it, he did what? He marveled. He marveled. And he said to those followed, surely I said to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. I just speak the word and it happens. Speak the word only. How did Jesus minister to people? Watch this. See, we have this brain freeze that the way you minister to people is they come forward, you lay hands. Jesus, please heal them. Oh, God, oh, please. Please, Jesus, please heal. And we just keep praying. I believe today we're going to pray. You cannot have faith without prayer. But there is a time you stand up from that and you speak the word and you command in the authority the Lord has given you. Watch this. Well, the centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy. Go back. I'm sorry. Go back. Go ahead. Go to the next one. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, what did he do? What did he do? Spoke, and he said what? Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He rose. See, Jesus prayed all night. Jesus was a man of prayer. But when he dealt with things, he came, and the Bible says he spoke the word. Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He began to speak faith. He did not just keep praying. Look what he said in Mark chapter 11. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever does what? Whoever does what? Not prays any longer, says, speaks. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. He's talking about speaking to the problem. He said, stop talking to God now. You've done that. Now stand up with the authority that I've given you. Stretch out your rod of authority and see the miraculous begin to happen. He said, whoever says to this mountain, he's talking about speaking to things that are obstacles. He said, stop talking to me and begin to speak to that thing that needs to be moved. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. You know, James says, let him call for the elders of the church, let him anoint with oil and pray, and the prayer of faith. What's a prayer of faith? Well, it's just you praying kind of okay prayers, but then when you pray the prayer of faith. You know what I believe it is? I believe when you pray this, you get up, you pray, you're seeking God, and then God gives you a word. He drops it in your heart, and then you know that you know, and you do what you see the Father have done, and now we do what we see Jesus doing, and we stand up, and we call those things that are not as though they were. We began to speak what we see the Father. We began to act on it. We began to stand up with the authority. Look at Luke chapter 4. Notice, there was not a form of prayer at Orchards. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with what? Authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Notice Jesus didn't start a prayer meeting. Oh, that's all. Come on, everybody join him. Let's pray. Oh, God, please deliver this poor guy. Oh, God. And God says, why are you crying to me? I have given you authority over demonic activity. I have given it to you. Now you stretch your rod out. Stop the fear and doubt and all that, and begin to do what I told you to do, what I gave you authority to do. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with what? Authority and power he commanded. And the disciples are watching this. 3 years, they're walking with Jesus. And they're, how do you do it? Oh, that's how you do it. You don't have another prayer meeting and ask God to do it. He's given us authority. We're to command the demons to come out. We're to command those things. We're to rebuke the fevers. We're to speak to the mountain. Come on, somebody say amen. It's a paradigm shift. He kept, it didn't. Go to the next one. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. And he stood over her and began a prayer meeting and asking God, oh God, please, please heal this, please. Is that what he did? What did he do? He spoke to the mountain. Is that right? He spoke to the mountain. The Bible says he rebuked the fever. When's the last time you rebuked a fever? He rebuked the fever and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to minister unto them. Look at Luke 7. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a very large crowd from the city was with her. And then he came and he touched the open coffin and those that carried him, and he stood still and he said, everybody join hands, let's pray for this young man. We need to really seek God about this young. Is that what he did? What did he do? He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the situation. He had been given authority. He was not crying. Prayer is ultimate. That's what we've been doing for 21 days, crying out to God. But there comes a point when you've done that, the end has come, you stand up, and with the authority God's given you, you speak to the mountain. And the Bible says he spoke to the young man and said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the Bible says he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. We have never seen it like this, they say. Look at this. Go to the next one. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion? This little girl had died. The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother and the child and those that were with him. And he entered into where the child was laying. And he got them all to join hands together. And let's all pray to God and ask God to do something. Is that what he said? Is that what happened? Now they're watching him. They're learning how to do this. He goes in the room. He's been a man of prayer. He's been nights in prayer. You cannot move in the miraculous without a prayer life. But you'll never see the miraculous if all you do is you never rise up from the prayer and use the authority God's given us. And so he walks in and he took the child by the hand. And here's what he is. He spoke to her. Talith kuma, he says, Talith kuma, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And the Bible says immediately the girl arose, walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. They're watching all of this. Go to the next one. Watch this. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hands on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. Be opened. Be opened. And immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. The disciples were with him. They're watching all of this through the years. They're watching and they're learning. And notice what, now he goes to heaven, gives them authority. Now I want you to notice how they did it. Look at Acts 3. Peter and John went up together in the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate in the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive some money from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He did not say, come on, John, join hands with me right here. Let's pray. Oh, God, would you do something in this situation? God, would you do something? He didn't do it. He'd been given authority from God Almighty. And the Bible says he's walking by and he looks at this lame man and he says this. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Somebody say amen, would you? Come on. Give another good clap offering. Why did he do it like that? Because he'd seen Jesus do it like that. Why did he do something? Because that's how Jesus did it. And when Jesus said, I'm sending you forth, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Now, as I was sent, I'm sending you. I want you to cure the sick. I want you to deliver the demon possessed. I want you to, I want you. And so when they started, they just did it like he did it. They didn't have these prayers, oh God, oh thou hast modest, highest goddess, when thou hast made me as healeth, if it be thy will, healeth this. He said they just began to speak to the mountain. They began to say, look at us. And instead of doing a prayer, they were going to prayer. Prayer was vital. But when it came to miraculous, they rose up from their prayer and they used the authority God's given them. And they didn't have God say, why cries thou unto me? Stretch out your rod and do what I told you to do. I've given you the authority already. It's been granted unto you. It's been given unto you. And the Bible says, look at the next one. Look at Acts 9. It came to pass as Peter went through all the parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydia. And he found a certain man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to who? Spoke to him. Spoke to the man. What are you doing like that, Peter? That's how Jesus did it. He just told us to do, heal the sick. He didn't have a seminar on it. We just watched him for 3 years and he didn't have a prayer meeting every time there was a, he just Christ spoke to the problem. And the Bible says, Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. Then he rose immediately. Look at the next one. Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. And the woman was full of good deeds and works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Peter put them all out. They brought Peter over. And he knelt down and he prayed. Watch this. He prayed. There are seasons when you pray. You kneel down and you pray. But all we do, we stop right there. We don't do anything else. We just kneel down and pray. But notice what he did. He knelt down and prayed. And turning then to the Bible, getting up from his prayer, he prayed, he saw God, and then getting up from the prayer, he turns to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. So that's the problem. A lot of us pray, but we stop right there. We don't then turn to the mountain and say, be thou cast into the sea. He prayed, and then he turned to the body and spoke to the problem. And says, Tabitha, I say to you, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I won't go into all that. It'd be kind of amazing to me. All right, go to the next one. In that region, there was an estate of leading citizen in the island. This is Paul, whose name was Polybus, and who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. Notice, it's okay to pray, but you've got to then somewhere, you've got to come in and move from prayer. He prayed, and then he got up, and he laid hands, and I believe he spoke to this man, and the Bible says he was healed. Go to the next one. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, notice this, everybody, come on, everybody, up here, everybody, join hands one more time. No, he didn't say that. He said, stand up, straight on your feet. And the Bible says he leaped and he walked. Come on, somebody. Go to the next one. Go ahead. Do I have another or am I out? Is that it? That's it. That's the end of it. Everybody say machine gun. You feel like a machine gun just kind of hits you. It's the way I am. I'm just a machine gun sometimes. Here's what we're doing today. Musicians, come on up. Let me tell you some things God will do today. Here's what we're going to do. We've got... And I told you, we don't have a lot of this programmed and rehearsed. And I've got some people in mind that we're going to pray today. And let me tell you how this works. The Bible never intended for a church to be a one-man show. If all you've got is a one-man show, I'm gifted as a teacher. Everybody say, but I'm a great teacher. But you need more than a teacher. Can you imagine the only part of your body was your mouth at work? Your hands didn't work, your feet didn't work, just your body worked. What a great body I am. Look at that mouth. Man, what a mouth we got. Fantastic mouth. You see them lips? I mean, that tongue just rolls off that tongue. Can you imagine a body paralyzed and all they have is lips? You wouldn't have a hand, you wouldn't have eyes, you wouldn't have ears. And the Bible is very adamant about all the different parts of the body operating. There are gifts of healing in our body. People with the gifts of healings, plural, for your heart, for physicalness. There are gifts of prophecy, people that have prophetic gifts. There's people that have gifts of management, gifts of mercy, gifts. All these are needed today. And what we're going to do is, I've got staff, and I'm going to do this. There's different things that God can heal. We're going to start off with this. We'll just start off with the obvious first, and that is that God can heal you physically. One of my staff, Kenny, come on, Kenny, tell. I want Kenny to give just a 2-minute testimony on what God did with your eyes when you did. Just tell that, and then we're going to go for you.
Most of you know this, but some of you may not. But one time before I was a Christian, I was riding a motorcycle with my son in the woods, and I ran into a limb, and that limb, a piece of it, went dead center of my left eye all the way in and pulled out. And it immediately blinded me. All the fluid ran out of my eye. It hurt like crazy. I didn't know what to do, and I went to the doctor, and he looked at it after about waiting for 2 hours, and it was like burning. You can imagine like sticking a cigarette to it. It was burning that bad. And he finally came in, and he looked at it, and he just kind of pushed away from me. And he said, son, I'm sorry. He said, go home, get your clothes, meet me at the hospital. We're going to have to take your eyeball out tonight. Because all that fungus that was on that stick is pulled off and it's inside of your eye. And we're going to have to take it out. If we don't, you can get it infected. It will go into the other eye. And it's only this far away from your brain. You can die from this if we don't do something immediately. So I was not a Christian. But Janice used to drag me to church enough to hear that Jesus healed. And every time I would go, I would always hear a story about him healing blind people. And that was one of the greatest fears I ever had in my life, was to be blind. I had to bandage him one time. And that fear and anxiety that was there about claustrophobic setting in. And I was praying for the first time. I did do the praying part. And I went to the hospital and I told him, I said, you do what you got to do. I'm speaking faith and I'm not even a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And I said, you do what you're going to do. God's going to do what he's going to do. So just something began to rise up inside of me. And I went and I told him, I said, you do it. Well, he came in the next day. They had a bandage on it, had me sandbagged, tied down to the chair, to the bed where I couldn't move. And he told me, he said, I don't understand this, but something happened during the night, and we decided to leave it in there. And we're just going to let it go and see what happens. And sure enough, for 9 months, I went totally blind in that eye. And then I had acute glaucoma. I went back through the same thing. And he said, it's too late. We got to take it out. There's no hope for it whatsoever. And I said, you do what you're going to do. God's going to do what he's going to do. And they went in, and they did the surgery. And I come back the next day, they had me in the bed, and it was bandaged, and Janice was sitting there laughing with some friends in the corner. And it's like, this is not a fun time for y'all to be in here laughing. They just took my eyeball out. I'm thinking, well, I wake up, and I said, well, what's going on? She said, the doctor will be in here in a few minutes and let you know what happened. So he came in, and he pulled the patch off. And when he pulled it off, I knew God was real, because I could see. The ugliest curtain I ever seen in my life was in that hospital. And I knew that God was real, that God was doing something in me. And it transformed my life. And I want you to know, I can sit here today, and if I could do this, I could rip one of those hairs out of my arm, and I could thread it with another hair. That's how good my eyesight is in this eye. I don't wear glasses. And they told me, from now on, you're going to have to go every 2 years and have surgery done to your eye. That's just a normal fact that they have to do that. Well, I want you to know, that's been almost 35 years, and I have never been back for any surgeries. And God has totally healed me.
This week, we had a 2-year-old little boy over in the Spanish church, and a single mom, and they were outside. A little boy ran out in traffic and got run over. And they ran over his leg, his foot. They took him in, and his foot was crushed to such an extent they couldn't do the surgery. And they had to send him down to Children's Hospital in New Orleans, where Doug and all those, where their kids were. She didn't have, you know, money. She goes down there, and they take him in, and in the operating room. And about 30 minutes later, we tried to get everything. We couldn't get all the x-rays here today. the doctor came out of Children's Hospital, and this is, and here's the first question he asked this lady: "Are you a Christian?" And he's got an interpreter going because she's Spanish, and he said, "Yes." "Well, something supernatural has happened. His foot is completely healed." I said that. It does. Unbelievable. Hey, Denny and Dory, come up here real quick. Where's Denny and Dory? Come here, guys. Yeah, how many believe, and this is short now. I know this is going to be a challenge for you guys. This short. How many know God can heal? Listen to this. How many know God can heal a broken heart? And not only physically, but God can heal. Tell them what happened to you guys and what the Lord did.
In 1981, our little boy, who was 8 years old, was playing at a friend's house. I'll do this briefly, but he was playing at a friend's house in a swimming pool in a beautiful blue sky and no wind blowing, and a gum tree split and fell. And when it did, it brought down an oak limb from about 50 foot up and hit our son in the head, and he was killed. And nobody else was hurt. There were several kids there, but I think one little child had a fractured skull but survived. And, of course, we were devastated. We didn't have any will to live. We didn't know what to do. And it was like a part of us had been ripped out. And the ones of you who've lost loved ones and children know exactly what I'm talking about. And we had no will to live, but we picked up the scripture and we started reading it. We had started having people come to our side and giving us the word of God and testifying to us about how good God was. And I was going to church, but I was not saved. I was not even serving God, but I went with Dory to a church. And God started working on us, and he performed a miracle in our lives. We started seeing our life open up. The Word of God changed us. We came to know him as our Savior, and God miraculously healed us along the way. And we've been able to go out throughout the world now. It's amazing what God has done through this. He took two little people who were broken, who were distraught, who were destroyed almost, and he lifted us up, and he gave us a will to live, and he gave us a knowledge of knowing what we're in this world for, that we're here for other people and to share with them what God's done for us. And I could go on for a long time, but it's still amazing to us how God has moved and how he's still moving. And we'd received a prophecy years ago that we'd ministered to hundreds and thousands. And when that prophecy came forth, I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know who they were talking about. I'm a guy who never got up and spoke in front of anybody. And God started using us, and it has.
And God healed your heart.
Hundreds and thousands, and he healed us.
Amen. Everybody say amen, would you? Hey, one more. Donna, I want you to come up. Donna, come up real quick. God can heal a broken heart. I want you to tell the story about what your dad did with the gun. And God can heal not only broken hearts of adults, God can heal broken hearts of child abuse. And when Donna first came to our church, this is the truth. Show them how you used to talk to me. Donna ever come up and talk to me, show them how you used to do. Just put your head. She used to put her head. Here's how she'd always, I'd say, she'd be talking to me. I'd say, that's the truth. I mean, that's absolute truth. And you'll understand why God can heal this.
When I was about 5 or 6 years old, my dad started, I would do things I shouldn't do, you know, and so he didn't know how to discipline, I guess. But he would take out his double barrel shotgun, and I was sitting on the couch, and he would take his gun and point it right in my face. It'd just be, the gun would only be maybe a foot or so from my face. And he would start asking me questions, and I couldn't even answer him at all. I didn't even know what the question was. I was so scared. And I just shook all inside, and I didn't know what to do. And he did this over and over. And I would lay in bed at night so afraid and not knowing what was going to happen. And he would point that gun at my face. And one day, one night, while I sat there on the couch and he sat in a chair right in front of me and with his gun, I knew one night that he was going to shoot me that day. And I didn't know what to do. And I was holding a newspaper, and I sat there and I was shaking all over. I didn't know what to do. The Lord, I know it was the Lord now, but at the time I didn't. And he told me what to do. And at the very moment that my dad was about to shoot the gun, the Lord had me throw the newspaper up in the air, and I threw myself over on the couch. And he shot the gun right at the second I threw the newspaper up. And he totally missed me, you know, but he blew up the back of the couch and the wall. And I was pretty messed up from all that. And, I mean, he did lots of other stuff, too. And I went through this for years and years. And when I finally came to the Lord, God showed me his love in such a way, you know, that he came. I had a vision of Jesus. And he came and he spoke to me and he showed me his love. And he ministered to me. And over the years, it took a while, you know, but over the years, I realized there were things even in my life that I needed deliverance from, because, I mean, my life was just in a mess. But God cares about every person. He cares about everything that you go through. And he's not going to leave you to yourself. If you come to him with whatever the problem is, he'll meet you right there. He'll come and he'll set you free. And he did that in my life. And many times when I was having problems with different things, God would come and he would show me a word, or he would speak something to my heart, or in a church service or whatever. He would do something, and it set me free in so many ways. Amen. God is real.
Everybody say amen. Everybody stand up. Hey, here's what we're going to do today. Our reading last night, close your eyes just for a second. Bring the lights down, if you would, in the back. Hey, our reading last night, or yesterday, was when Moses left and went back to Egypt to deliver the people. And that first meeting that he had with all the people, the Bible says, he said this. He says, God has seen your affliction. And the elders that he met with were listening. And they didn't know God really cared about them. They were in slavery. They were in dire straits. They were in situations that they needed God. And the Bible says when they heard that God knew the affliction they were in, they bowed low and they worshiped. They just were touched that God was touched with their problems. They just couldn't believe it. Can I tell you this morning, God is touched with your feelings. And this morning, here's what we're going to do. We are going to begin to worship. And I've got some of my staff, we've talked to, and the Lord's given them some words. And if the Lord gives you something, this is not neat and tidy today, but I believe God is going to do what he wants to do today. And what we're going to do is we're going to let the Lord lead us and guide us. And if he can lead the children of Israel for 40 years, he can lead us for a few minutes. Everybody say amen. He can lead us for a few minutes this morning. And we're going to do this. And if you do have something, either grab Kenny or myself and come tell us. And we're going to let the Lord speak. And I believe God's going to call out certain things today. And other thing, we're going to pray. Just believe God. The woman with the issue of blood did not even have anybody pray with her. She just said, you know, something came in a Holy Ghost idea. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. And many others, when you read in the Gospels, many others happened to them the same way. They didn't have formalized prayer. They just got a hold of God. And when God's there, things happen and change. And so this morning, we're going to believe God do that. We're going to speak to the mountains. We're going to begin to pray and worship. And then we're going to rise up from that and speak to things and have the Lord change things in your life. Go ahead, Nick. Begin to lead us. And we're going to begin to do this. Come on, come on.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nature. nations. Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty. He has conquered the grave. So take me as You find me, all my fears and failures.
To me, there's a number in here that I got so many things that's just bubbling in my spirit. But I want you, there's some in here that's got back problems. You've had back problems for the last year, and it's really getting intensified in the last days. Just come on down. You know, the scripture says that one day Jesus went to the pool of Siloam, and there was a crippled man laying there for years. And it says, why aren't you healed? And he says, because I have no one to put me into the pool. But Jesus said, Jesus stepped over many people, but He got to him and He healed him only because He said He had a need. And if you have a need today, don't sit around and wait. We don't have waters up here, but the Spirit of God is here to do healing. I want you to come forth. And you that are here to have gifts in the Holy Ghost to pray for people, for healing, for whatever, I want you to come. Find yourself around some of these people. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. Amen. To heal them. Another thing I see is a knee. I see a right knee that's been giving you problems, and it needs to be healed. It's been an aggravation for months and months. You need to move. Just come on down. Come on down. Come on. Y'all begin to pray for these here. I got some other stuff that I want to do. You know, there was another thing about a broken heart. You know, I know some of you have lost loved ones, and I know what that feeling is to have a broken heart, to feel that crushedness inside of you. And every time you want to move forward, you can't because you feel that broken heart. You feel that pain. It's literally there, and it's a real pain. But God wants to set you free, because if you don't, that can become a stronghold, and it will hold you dead in the water the rest of your life. So I want you to come. Start moving on down. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, we speak healing right now. Every person here, every nerve, every vertebra, every spinal problem, in the name of Jesus, we break that stronghold. We command it to be gone. Devil, you cannot have these. You will not bring pain on these anymore. In the name of Jesus, right now, we speak total healing to their bodies. In Jesus' name, we set you free today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To be whole in Jesus' name. Whole in Jesus' name. There's someone here that's got glaucoma. Glaucoma is a disease. It's a swelling of the eyeball, and it begins to cut off the nerve that goes to the brain. That could make you go blind. If you got that problem, I want you to come. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God to touch you today to heal that. There's another one. I keep seeing a left ear, an ear that cannot hear, or an ear that's discharging fluid. And I want you to get healed of that thing today in Jesus' name. Come on, we've been praying. We've been believing God for 21 days. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. And that word salvation literally means to be healed, to be set free, to be prosperous in the name of Jesus. Come and receive it today. Come and move, oh God. Let God touch you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Savior,
all authority, every victory, your seat out, all authority, all authority, yes, Lord, come.
Somebody here, and I think there's more than one, but we've been battling with just a lot of rejection. And just like a spirit of rejection has been over your life for quite a while now. And you've been through a lot of disappointment. And the Lord says that if you'll just reach out to Him, He's going to break the power of that thing off of you. If you'll just reach out to Him, He's going to break that off and set you free in the name of Jesus. He's here right now to heal.
Lift your hands. Come on. Stretch out and touch Him right where you are. Come on.
I trust.
Impossible. Give him a good clap offering. Let me tell you what we're going to do this week. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And this week, I want you to do this. I want you to just, as much as is in you, grow in faith this week. Just believe him. At night, when you hear the noise bang and you know it's a criminal and he's in your house, just by faith, say, I rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. I trust in you, God. When you see your boss coming at you, you know he's got a pink slip. Say, oh, no, he's got a promotion. Come on, somebody, just say, he's going to do that. On and on and on and on. When you hear and things that grab you and try to make you fearful and afraid, or when you begin to see some things, stand against it. And say, no, I trust you, God. No, I trust you, God. No, I trust you, God. Break patterns of fear and doubt and unbelief. Begin to break them. Say, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to be one that's going to serve God with faith. And the Bible says when Jesus went to his hometown, he marveled that they had unbelief. He marveled at them. How many would rather have Jesus marvel at you because of your centurion faith this morning? And sometimes you can be unconventional, break out, different than what you remember, what you've been doing. God wants to do some different things. Father, let you ask. Father, this morning we thank you for the authority you've given us. And this week we're going to step out and use it. We love you, Father. We thank you. We want to be pleasing in your sight. More than just not sinning, we want to do great exploits for you. Know our God. And we're going to do great things this week. And we believe in and trusting in you because you're great. Everybody shouted a good amen today, would you? Give a good clap offering. Come on, do a good fast song. Do a new fast song. Do a fast song. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Let's sing a good song again. Go ahead. Good, kick it off. Now. Come on, put your hands together.
Name of Jesus,
yeah, yeah,
is a refuge,
ooh, yeah,
a shelter from the storm.
Yes, he is
a help to those who call. Oh, the name of Jesus, Jesus is a fortress, a saving place to run, a hope unshakable. When we fall, you
come
are
on.
Saved. When we call, you are the answer. There is power in your name.
Yeah.
There is power in your name. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken in your name.
Come on.
Every knee will bow down and our hearts will songs of freedom in your name.
Yeah.
Oh, in your name. There's freedom.
Come on. Shout to the Lord.
Power.
Hallelujah.
bring salvation, bring your kingdom.
Ooh, yeah.
Let all that you have made bring glory to your name. When we fall, you are the Savior. When we call, you are the answer. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Change our broken in your name.
Yeah, all our lives.
Every knee will bow down and our hearts will cry out. So
when we call, you are the answer.
There is power in your name.
Yes, there is.
There is power.
Yes, there is.
There is power in your name.
Lord Jesus.
There is power in your name.
Lord Jesus. Give a great clap off for today. Come on. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the church cried out to God and God filled them. I want you to do one last thing with me this morning. I want to cry out to God to fill us afresh and new with the Holy Ghost. Father, we cry out today. Fill this place with your Spirit one more time. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the Spirit of God. Lord, let it overroll. Let it overflow through our lives. Fill this place. Shake this house with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit one more time. We praise you. We love you. We trust in you. We go forth in the authority today that you gave us. And we love you, Father, with all our hearts in Jesus' name. And this week, listen, God's going to give you opportunity to use the authority he's given you. Do it in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Give it one last clap offer. God bless you. Hug somebody before you go today. We'll see you Wednesday night.